Others will die of disease or be dragged away as prisoners. I will have him set Egypt's temples on fire, and he will either burn or carry off their idols. He will destroy the sacred monuments at the temple of the sun god. Then Nebuchadnezzar will pick the land clean, just like a shepherd picking the lice off his clothes. And he will return safely home. The Lord will destroy the people of Judah. Chapter 44. The Lord told me to speak with the Jews who were living in the towns of Migdol, Tapanhes, and Memphis in northern Egypt, and also to those living in southern Egypt. He told me to tell them, I am the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel. You saw how I destroyed Jerusalem and the towns of Judah. They lie empty and in ruins today, because the people of Judah made me angry by worshiping gods that had never helped them or their ancestors. Time after time, I sent my servants, the prophets, to tell the people of Judah how much I hated their disgusting sins. The prophets warned them to stop sinning, but they refused to listen and would not stop worshiping other gods. Finally, my anger struck like a raging flood, and today Jerusalem and the towns of Judah are nothing but empty ruins. Why do you now insist on heading for another disaster? A disaster that will destroy not only you, but also your children and babies. You have made me angry by worshiping idols and burning incense to other gods after you came here to Egypt. You will die such a disgusting death that other nations will use the name of Judah as a curse word. When you were living in Jerusalem and Judah, you followed the example of your ancestors in doing evil things, just like your kings and queens. Even now, your pride keeps you from respecting me and obeying the laws and teachings I gave you and your ancestors. I, the Lord All-Powerful, have decided to wipe you out with disasters. There were only a few of you left in Judah, and you decided to go to Egypt. But you will die such horrible deaths in war or from starvation that people of other countries will use the name of Judah as a curse word. I punished Jerusalem with war, hunger, and disease. And that's how I will punish you. None of you will survive. You may hope to return to Judah someday, but only a very few of you will escape death and be able to go back. The people refused to worship the Lord. A large number of Jews from both northern and southern Egypt listened to me as I told them what the Lord had said. Most of the men in the crowd knew that their wives often burned incense to other gods. So they and their wives shouted, Jeremiah, what do we care if you speak in the Lord's name? We refuse to listen. We have promised to worship the goddess Astarte, the queen of heaven, and that is exactly what we are going to do. We will burn incense and offer sacrifices of wine to her, just as we, our ancestors, our kings, and our leaders did when we lived in Jerusalem and the other towns of Judah. We had plenty of food back then. We were well off, and nothing bad ever happened to us. But since the time we stopped burning incense and offering wine sacrifices to her, we have been dying from war and hunger. Then the women said, When we lived in Judah, we worshipped the Queen of Heaven and offered sacrifices of wine and special loaves of bread shaped like her. Our husbands knew what we were doing, and they approved of it. Then I told the crowd, Don't you think the Lord knew that you and your ancestors, your leaders and kings, and the rest of the people were burning incense to other gods in Jerusalem and everywhere else in Judah? And when he could no longer put up with your disgusting sins, he placed a curse on your land and turned it into a desert as it is today. This disaster happened because you worshipped other gods and rebelled against the Lord by refusing to obey him or follow his laws and teachings. Then I told the men and their wives that the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, had said, "Here in Egypt, you still keep your promises to burn incense and offer sacrifices of wine to the so-called Queen of Heaven. Keep these promises. But let me tell you what will happen. As surely as I am the Lord God, I swear that I will never again accept any promises you make in my name. Instead of watching over you, I will watch for chances to harm you. Some of you will die in war, and others will starve to death. Only a few will escape and return to Judah. Then everyone who went to live in Egypt will know that when I say something will happen, it will, no matter what you say. And here is how you will know that I will keep my threats to punish you in Egypt. I will hand over King Hophra of Egypt to those who want to kill him, just as I handed Zedekiah over to Nebuchadnezzar, who wanted to kill him. The Lord will not let Barak be killed. Chapter 45. In the fourth year that Jehoiakim was king of Judah, Barak wrote down everything I had told him. Then later the Lord God of Israel told me to say to Barak, "You are moaning and blaming me, the Lord, for your troubles and sorrow, and for being so tired that you can't even rest. But all over the earth I am tearing down what I built and pulling up what I planted. I am bringing disaster everywhere, so don't even think about making any big plans for yourself. However, I promise that wherever you go, I will at least protect you from death. I, the Lord, have spoken." The Lord speaks about the nations. Chapter 46. The Lord often told me what to say about the different nations of the world. What the Lord says about Egypt. In the fourth year that Jehoiakim was king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia defeated King Necho of Egypt in a battle at the city of Carchemish near the Euphrates River. And here is what the Lord told me to say about the Egyptian army. "It's time to go into battle. So grab your shields, saddle your horses, and polish your spears. Put on your helmets and armor, then take your positions. I can see the battle now. You are defeated and running away, never once looking back. Terror is all around. You're strong and run fast, but you can't escape. You fall in battle near the Euphrates River. What nation is this that rises like the Nile River, overflowing its banks? It is Egypt, rising with a roar like a raging river and saying, 'I'll flood the earth, destroying cities and killing everyone in them.' Go ahead, Egypt. Tell your chariots and cavalry to attack and fight hard. Order your troops to march out, with Ethiopians and Libyans carrying shields, and the Lydians armed with bows and arrows. But the Lord All-Powerful will win this battle and take revenge on his enemies. His sword will eat them and drink their blood until it is full. They will be killed in the north near the Euphrates River as a sacrifice to the Lord. Egypt, no medicine can heal you, not even the soothing lotion from Gilead. All nations have heard you weep. You are disgraced, and they know it. Your troops fall to the ground, stumbling over each other. A warning for Egypt. When King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia was on his way to attack Egypt, the Lord sent me with a warning for every Egyptian town, but especially for Migdol, Memphis, and Tapanhes. He said to tell them, "Prepare to defend yourselves. Everywhere in your nation, people are dying in war. I have struck down your mighty god Apis and chased him away. Your soldiers stumble over each other and say, 'Get up, the enemy will kill us unless we escape to our own land.' Give the king of Egypt this new name. Talks big, does nothing. Egypt, I am the true king, the Lord all-powerful, and as surely as I live, those enemies who attack will tower over you, like Mount Tabor among the hills, or Mount Carmel by the sea. You will be led away captive, so pack a few things to bring with you. Your capital, Memphis, will lie empty and in ruins. An enemy from the north will attack you, beautiful Egypt, like a fly biting a cow. The foreign soldiers you hired will turn and run, but they are doomed, like well-fed calves being led to the butcher. The enemy army will go forward like a swarm of locusts. Your troops will feel helpless, like a snake in a forest, when men with axes start chopping down trees. It can only hiss and try to escape. Your people will be disgraced and captured by the enemy from the north. I am the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel. Soon I will punish the god Amun of Thebes and the other Egyptian gods, the Egyptian kings, the people of Egypt, and everyone who trusts in the Egyptian power. I will hand them over to King Nebuchadnezzar and his army. But I also promise that Egypt will someday have people living here again, just as it had before. I, the Lord, have spoken." The Lord will bring Israel home. The Lord said, "Israel, don't be afraid. Someday I will bring you home from foreign lands. You and your descendants will live in peace and safety, with nothing to fear. So don't be afraid, even though now you deserve to be punished and have been scattered among other nations. But when I destroy them, I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken." What the Lord says about the Philistines. Chapter 47. Before the king of Egypt attacked the town of Gaza, the Lord told me to say to the Philistines, "I, the Lord, tell you that your land will be flooded with an army from the north. It will destroy your towns and sweep you away, moaning and screaming. When you hear the thunder of horses and chariots, your courage will vanish, and parents will abandon their own children. You refugees from Crete, your time has now come, and I will destroy you. None of you will be left to help the cities of Tyre and Sidon. The Anakim who survive in Gaza and Ashkelon will mourn for you by shaving their heads and sitting in silence. You ask, 'How long will I continue to attack you with my sword?' Then you tell me to put it away and leave you alone. But how can my sword rest when I have commanded it to attack Ashkelon and the seacoast?" What the Lord says about Moab. Chapter 48. The Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, told me to say to the nation of Moab, the town of Nebo is doomed. Kiriathaim will be captured and disgraced, and even its fortress will be left in ruins. No one honors you, Moab. In Heshbon, enemies make plans to end your life. My sword will leave only silence in your town named Quiet. The people of Horonaim will cry for help as their town is attacked and destroyed. Moab will be shattered. Your children will sob and cry on their way up to the town of Luhith. On the road to Horonaim, they will tell of disasters. Run for your lives. Head into the desert like a wild donkey. You thought you could be saved by your power and wealth, but you will be captured along with your god Chemosh, his priests and officials. Not one of your towns will escape destruction. I have told your enemies, wipe out the valley and the flatlands of Moab. Spread salt on the ground to kill the crops. Leave its towns in ruins, with no one living there. I want you to kill the Moabites, and if you let them escape, I will put a curse on you. Moab, you are like wine left to settle undisturbed, never poured from jar to jar. And so your nation continues to prosper and improve. But now, I will send enemies to pour out the wine and smash the jars. Then you will be ashamed, because your god Chemosh cannot save you, just as Bethel could not help the Israelites. You claim that your soldiers are strong and brave. But I am the Lord, the all-powerful king, and I promise that enemies will overpower your towns. Even your best warriors will die in the battle. It won't be long now. Disaster will hit Moab. I will order the nearby nations to mourn for you and say, isn't it sad? Moab ruled others, but now its glorious power has been shattered. People in the town of Dibon, you will be honored no more. So have a seat in the dust. Your walls will be torn down when the enemies attack. You people of Aroer, go wait beside the road. And when refugees run by, ask them, what happened? They will answer, Moab has been defeated. Weep with us in shame. Tell everyone at the Arnon River that Moab is destroyed. I will punish every town that belongs to Moab, but especially Holon, Jaza, Mephaath, Dibon, Nebo, Beth Diblathaim, Kiriathaim, Beth Gamel, Beth Meon, Kiriath, and Bozra. My decision is final. Your army will be crushed and your power broken. People of Moab, you claim to be stronger than I am. Now I will tell other nations to make you drunk and to laugh while you collapse in your own vomit. You made fun of my people and treated them like criminals caught in the act. Now you must leave your towns and live like doves in the shelter of cliffs and canyons. I know about your pride and how you strut and boast. But I also know bragging will never save you. So I will cry and mourn for Moab and its town of Kerheres. People of Sibmah, you were like a vineyard heavy with grapes and with branches reaching north to the town of Jazer and west to the Dead Sea. But you have been destroyed, and so I will weep for you, as the people of Jazer weep for the vineyards. Harvest celebrations are gone from the orchards and farms of Moab. There are no happy shouts from people making wine. Weeping from Heshbon can be heard as far as Elealeh and Jahaz. Cries from Zoar are heard in Horonaim and Eglath-Shelishiah. And Nimrim Creek has run dry. I will get rid of anyone who burns incense to the gods of Moab or offers sacrifices at their shrines. I, the Lord, have spoken. In my heart, I moan for Moab, like a funeral song played on a flute. I mourn for the people of the town of Kirhiris, because their wealth is gone. The people of Moab mourn on the rooftops and in the streets. Men cut off their beards. People shave their heads. They make cuts on their hands and wear sackcloth. And it's all because I, the Lord, have shattered Moab like a jar that no one wants. Moab lies broken. Listen to its people cry as they turn away in shame. Other nations are horrified at what happened, but still they laugh. Moab, an enemy swoops down like an eagle spreading its wings over your land. Your cities and fortresses will be captured, and your warriors gripped by fear. You are finished as a nation, because you dared oppose me, the Lord. Terror, pits, and traps are waiting for you. If you are terrified and run, you will fall into a pit. And if you crawl out of the pit, you'll get caught in a trap. The time has come for you to be punished. Near the city of Heshbon, where Sihon once ruled, tired refugees stand in shadows cast by the flames of their burning city. Soon the towns on other hilltops, where those warlike people live, will also go up in smoke. People of Moab, you worshipped Chemosh, your god. But now you are done for, and your children are prisoners in a foreign country. Yet someday I will bring your people back home. I, the Lord, have spoken. What the Lord says about Ammon, chapter 49. The Lord has this to say about the nation of Ammon. The people of Israel have plenty of children to inherit their lands. So why have you worshippers of the god Milcom taken over towns and land belonging to the Gad tribe? Someday I will send an army to attack you in Rabbah, your capital city. It will be left in ruins, and the surrounding villages will lie in ashes. You took some of Israel's land, but on that day, Israel will take yours. Cry, people of Heshbon. Your town will become a pile of rubble. You will turn here and there, but your path will be blocked. Put on sackcloth and mourn, you citizens of Rabbah, because the idol you worship will be taken to a foreign country, along with its priests and temple officials. You rebellious Ammonites, trust your wealth and ask, who could attack us? But I warn you not to boast when your strength is fading. I, the Lord All-Powerful, will send neighboring nations to strike you with terror. You will be scattered, with no one to care for your refugees. Yet someday, I will bring your people back home. I, the Lord, have spoken. What the Lord says about Edom. The Lord All-Powerful says about Edom, Wisdom and common sense have vanished from Teman. I will send disaster to punish you descendants of Esau. So anyone from Dedan had better turn around and run back home. People who harvest grapes leave some for the poor. Thieves who break in at night take only what they want. But I will take everything that belongs to you, people of Edom, and I will uncover every place where you try to hide. Then you will die, and so will your children, relatives, and neighbors. But I can be trusted to care for your orphans and widows. Even those nations that don't deserve to be punished will have to drink from the cup of my anger. So how can you possibly hope to escape? I, the Lord, swear in my own name that your city of Bozrah and all your towns will suffer a horrible fate. They will lie in ruins forever. And people will use the name Bozrah as a curse word. I have sent a messenger to command the nations to prepare for war against you people of Edom. Your nation will be small, yet hated by other nations. Pride tricks you into thinking that other nations look at you with fear. You live along the cliffs and high in the mountains like the eagles. But I am the Lord, and I will bring you down. People passing by your country will be shocked and horrified to see a disaster as bad as the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and towns nearby. The towns of Edom will be empty. I will attack you like a lion from the forest attacking sheep in a meadow along the Jordan. In a moment, the flock runs, and the land is empty. Who will I choose to attack you? I will do it myself. No one can force me to fight or chase me away. Listen to my plans for you, people of Edom. Your children will be dragged off and your country destroyed. The sounds of your destruction will reach the Red Sea and cause the earth to shake. An enemy will swoop down to attack you, like an eagle spreading its wings and circling over Bozrah. Your warriors will be gripped by fear. What the Lord says about Damascus. The Lord says about Damascus, the towns of Hamath and Arpad have heard your bad news. They have lost hope, and worries roll over them like ocean waves. You people of Damascus have lost your courage, and in panic you turn to run, gripped by fear and pain. I once was pleased with your famous city, but now I warn you, escape while you still can. Soon even your best soldiers will lie dead in your streets. I, the Lord All-Powerful, have spoken. I will set fire to your city walls and burn down the fortresses King Ben-Hadad built. Nebuchadnezzar and the people of the desert. Here is what the Lord says about the Kedar tribe and the desert villages that were conquered by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia. Listen, you people of Kedar, and the other tribes of the eastern desert. I have told Nebuchadnezzar to attack and destroy you. His fearsome army will surround you, taking your tents and possessions, your sheep and camels. Run and hide, you people of the desert who live in villages. Nebuchadnezzar has big plans for you. You have no city walls and no neighbors to help. Yet you think you're safe. So I told him to attack. Then your camels and large herds will be yours no longer. People of the Arabian desert, disaster will strike you from every side. and you will be scattered everywhere on earth. Only jackals will live where your villages once stood. I, the Lord, have spoken. What the Lord says about Elam. Not long after Zedekiah became king of Judah, the Lord told me to say, "People of Elam, I, the Lord all-powerful, will kill the archers who make your army strong. Enemies will attack from all directions, and you will be led captive to every nation on earth. Their armies will crush and kill you, and you will face the disaster that my anger brings. Your king and his officials will die, and I will rule in their place. I, the Lord, have spoken. But I promise that someday I will bring your people back to their land." Babylon will be captured. Chapter 50. The Lord told me to say, "Announce what will happen, and don't leave anything out. Raise the signal flags. Shout so all nations can hear. Babylon will be captured. Marduk, Babylon's god, will be ashamed and terrified, and his idols broken. The attack on the Babylonians will come from the north. They and their animals will run, leaving the land empty." Israel and Judah will return to their land. The Lord said, "People of Israel and Judah, when these things happen, you will weep, and together you will return to your land and worship me, the Lord your God. You will ask the way to Zion, and then come and join with me in making an agreement you won't break or forget. My people, you are lost sheep, abandoned by their shepherds in the mountains. You don't even remember your resting place. I am your true pasture land, the one who gave hope to your ancestors. But you abandoned me, so when your enemies found you, they felt no guilt as they gobbled you down. Escape from Babylonia, my people. Get out of that country. Don't wait for anyone else. In the north I am bringing great nations together. They will attack Babylon and capture it. The arrows they shoot are like the best soldiers, always finding their target. Babylonia will be conquered, and its enemies will carry off everything they want. Babylon will be disgraced. The Lord said, "People of Babylonia, you were glad to rob my people. You had a good time, making more noise than horses and jumping around like calves threshing grain. The city of Babylon was like a mother to you. But it will be disgraced and become nothing but a barren desert. My anger will destroy Babylon, and no one will live there. Everyone who passes by will be shocked to see what has happened. Babylon has rebelled against me. Archers, take your places. Shoot all your arrows at Babylon. Attack from every side. Babylon surrenders. The enemy tears down its walls and towers. I am taking my revenge by doing to Babylon what it did to other cities. There is no one in Babylonia to plant or harvest crops. Even foreigners who live there have left for their homelands, afraid of the enemy armies. Israel is a flock of sheep, scattered by hungry lions. The king of Assyria first gobbled Israel down, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylonia, crunched on Israel's bones. I, the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, punished the king of Assyria, and I will also punish the king of Babylonia. But I will bring Israel back to its own land. The people will be like sheep eating their fill on Mount Carmel and in Bashan, in the hill country of Ephraim and in Gilead. I will rescue a few people from Israel and Judah. I will forgive them so completely that their sin and guilt will disappear, never to be found. The Lord's commands to the enemies of Babylonia. The Lord said, I have told the enemies of Babylonia, attack the people of Mirathaim and Pekod. Kill them all. Destroy their possessions. Sounds of war and the noise of destruction can be heard. Babylonia was a hammer pounding every country. But now it lies broken. What a shock to the nations of the world. Babylonia challenged me, the Lord God All-Powerful. But that nation doesn't know it is caught in a trap that I set. I brought out my weapons, and with them I will put a curse on Babylonia. Come from far away, you enemies of Babylon. Pile up the grain from its storehouses and destroy it completely, along with everything else. Kill the soldiers of Babylonia, because the time has come for them to be punished. The Babylonian army destroyed my temple, but soon I will take revenge. Then refugees from Babylon will tell about it in Zion. Attack Babylon, enemy archers. Set up camp around the city, and don't let anyone escape. It challenged me, the holy God. So do to it what it did to other cities. Proud Babylon will fall. People of Babylon, I, the Lord, promise that even your best soldiers will lie dead in the streets. Babylon, you should be named the Proud One. But the time has come when I, the Lord All-Powerful, will punish you. You are proud, but you will stumble and fall, and no one will help you up. I will set your villages on fire, and everything around you will go up in flames. You Babylonians were cruel to Israel and Judah. You took them captive, and now you refuse to let them go. But I, the Lord All-Powerful, will rescue and protect them. I will bring peace to their land, and trouble to yours. I have declared war on you, your officials and advisors. This war will prove that your prophets are liars and fools, and it will frighten your warriors. Then your chariot horses and the foreigners in your army will refuse to go into battle, and the enemy will carry away everything you treasure. Your rivers and canals will dry up. All of this will happen because your land is full of idols, and they have made fools of you. Never again will people live in your land. Only desert animals, jackals, and unclean birds. I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the nearby towns, and I will destroy Babylon just as completely. No one will live there again. Babylonia is invaded. The Lord said, far to the north, a nation and its allies have been awakened. They are powerful and ready for war. Bows and arrows and swords are in their hands. The soldiers are cruel and show no pity. The hoofbeats of their horses echo like ocean waves crashing against the shore. The army has lined up for battle and is coming to attack you, people of Babylonia. Ever since your king heard about this army, he has been weak with fear. He twists and turns in pain like a woman giving birth. Babylonia, I will attack you like a lion from the forest, attacking sheep in a meadow along the Jordan. In a moment the flock runs, and the land is empty. Who will I choose to attack you? I will do it myself. No one can force me to fight or chase me away. Listen to my plans for you, people of Babylonia. Your children will be dragged off, and your country destroyed. The sounds of your destruction will be heard among the nations, and the earth will shake. Babylon will be destroyed. Chapter 51. I, the Lord, am sending a wind to destroy the people of Babylonia and Babylon, its capital. Foreign soldiers will come from every direction, and when the disaster is over, Babylonia will be empty and worthless. I will tell these soldiers, attack quickly, before the Babylonians can string their bows or put on their armor. Kill their best soldiers and destroy their army. Their troops will fall wounded in the streets of Babylon. Everyone in Israel and Judah is guilty. But I, the Lord All-Powerful, their holy God, have not abandoned them. Get out of Babylon. Run for your lives. If you stay, you will be killed when I take revenge on the city and punish it for its sins. Babylon was my golden cup, filled with the wine of my anger. The nations of the world got drunk on this wine and went insane. But suddenly, Babylon will fall and be destroyed. I, the Lord, told the foreigners who live there, weep for the city. Get medicine for its wounds. Maybe they will heal. The foreigners answered, we have already tried to treat Babylon's wounds, but they would not heal. Come on, let's all go home to our own countries. Nothing is left in Babylonia. Everything is destroyed. The people of Israel said, tell everyone in Zion, the Lord has taken revenge for what Babylon did to us. The Lord wants Babylon destroyed. I, the Lord, want Babylon destroyed, because its army destroyed my temple. So, you kings of Media, sharpen your arrows and pick up your shields. Raise the signal flag and attack the city walls. Post more guards. Have soldiers watch the city and set up ambushes. I have made plans to destroy Babylon, and nothing will stop me. People of Babylon, you live along the Euphrates River and are surrounded by canals. You are rich, but now the time has come for you to die. I, the Lord All-Powerful, swear by my own life that enemy soldiers will fill your streets like a swarm of locusts. They will shout and celebrate their victory. A hymn of praise. God used his wisdom and power to create the earth and spread out the heavens. The waters in the heavens roar at his command. He makes clouds appear. He sends the wind from his storehouse and makes lightning flash in the rain. People who make idols are stupid. They will be disappointed because their false gods cannot breathe. Idols are merely a joke, and when the time is right, they will be destroyed. But the Lord, Israel's God, is all-powerful. He created everything, and he chose Israel to be his very own. God's Hammer. The Lord said, Babylonia, you were my hammer. I used you to pound nations and break kingdoms, to shatter cavalry and chariots, as well as men and women, young and old, shepherds and their flocks, farmers and their oxen, and governors and leaders. But now, my people will watch while I repay you for what you did to Zion. You destroyed the nations and seemed strong as a mountain, but I am your enemy. I might even grab you and roll you off a cliff. When I am finished, you'll only be a pile of scorched bricks. Your stone blocks won't be reused for cornerstones or foundations. And I promise that forever, you will be a desert. I, the Lord, have spoken. The nations will attack Babylon. The Lord said, Signal the nations to get ready to attack. Raise a flag and blow a trumpet. Send for the armies of Ararat, Minai, and Ashkenaz. Choose a commander. Let the cavalry attack like a swarm of locusts. Tell the kings and governors, the leaders and the people of the kingdoms of the Medes, to prepare for war. The earth twists and turns in torment, because I have decided to make Babylonia a desert where no one can live, and I won't change my mind. The Babylonian soldiers have lost their strength and courage. They stay in their fortresses, unable to fight, while the enemy breaks through the city gates, then sets their homes on fire. One messenger after another announces to the king, Babylon has been captured. The enemy now controls the river crossings. The marshes are on fire. Your army has panicked. I am the Lord all-powerful, the God of Israel, and I make this promise. Soon Babylon will be leveled and packed down like a threshing place at harvest time. Babylonia will pay. The people of Jerusalem say, King Nebuchadnezzar made us panic. That monster stuffed himself with us and our treasures, leaving us empty. He gobbled down what he wanted and spit out the rest. The people of Babylonia harmed some of us and killed others. Now, Lord, make them pay. The Lord will take revenge on Babylon. My people, I am on your side, and I will take revenge on Babylon. I will cut off its water supply, and its stream will dry up. Babylon will be a pile of rubble where only jackals live. People will laugh, but they will be afraid to walk among the ruins. The Babylonians roar and growl like young lions. Then since they are hungry, I will give them a banquet. They will celebrate, get drunk, then fall asleep, never to wake up. I will lead them away to die, like sheep, lambs, and goats being led to the butcher. All nations now praise Babylon, but when it is captured, those same nations will be horrified. Babylon's enemies will rise like ocean waves and flood the city. Horrible destruction will strike the nearby towns. The land will become a barren desert, where no one can live or even travel. I will punish Marduk, the god of Babylon, and make him vomit up everything he gobbled down. Then nations will no longer bring him gifts, and Babylon's walls will crumble. The Lord offers hope to his people. Get out of Babylon, my people, and run for your lives, before I strike the city in my anger. Don't be afraid or lose hope, though year after year there are rumors of leaders fighting for control in the city of Babylon. The time will come when I will punish Babylon's false gods. Everyone there will die, and the whole nation will be disgraced when an army attacks from the north and brings destruction. Then the earth and the heavens and everything in them will celebrate. Babylon must be overthrown because it slaughtered the people of Israel and of many other nations. My people, you escaped death when Jerusalem fell. Now you live far from home, but you should trust me and think about Jerusalem. Leave Babylon. Don't stay. You feel ashamed and disgraced because foreigners have entered my sacred temple. Soon I will send a war to punish Babylon's idols and leave its wounded people moaning everywhere. Although Babylon's walls reach to the sky, the army I send will destroy that city. I, the Lord, have spoken. Babylon will be destroyed. The Lord said, "Listen to the cries for help coming from Babylon. Everywhere in the country the sounds of destruction can be heard, the shouts of the enemy, like crashing ocean waves, will drown out Babylon's cries as I level the city. An enemy will attack and destroy Babylon. Its soldiers will be captured and their weapons broken. Because I am a god who takes revenge against nations for what they do. I, the Lord All-Powerful, the true King, promise that the officials and advisors, the governors and leaders and the soldiers of Babylon will get drunk, fall asleep, and never wake up. The thick walls of that city will be torn down and its huge gates burned. Everything that nation worked so hard to gain will go up in smoke." Jeremiah gives Seraiah a scroll. During Zedekiah's fourth year as king of Judah, he went to Babylon, and Barak's brother Seraiah went along as the officer in charge of arranging for places to stay overnight. Before they left, I wrote on a scroll all the terrible things that would happen to Babylon. I gave the scroll to Seraiah and said, "When you get to Babylon, read this scroll aloud, then pray, 'Our Lord, you promised to destroy this place and make it into a desert where no people or animals will ever live.' When you finish praying, tie the scroll to a rock and throw it in the Euphrates River. Then say, 'This is how Babylon will sink when the Lord destroys it. Everyone in the city will die, and it won't have the strength to rise again. The end of Jeremiah's writing. Jeremiah's writing ends here. Jerusalem is captured. Chapter 52. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he was appointed king of Judah, and he ruled from Jerusalem for 11 years. His mother, Hamutal, was the daughter of Jeremiah from the town of Libna. Zedekiah disobeyed the Lord, just as Jehoiakim had done, and it was Zedekiah who finally rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. The people of Judah and Jerusalem had made the Lord so angry that he finally turned his back on them. That's why horrible things were happening. In Zedekiah's 9th year as king, on the 10th day of the 10th month, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia led his entire army to attack Jerusalem. The troops set up camp outside the city and built ramps up to the city walls. After a year and a half, all the food in Jerusalem was gone. Then on the 9th day of the 4th month, the Babylonian troops broke through the city wall. That same night, Zedekiah and his soldiers tried to escape through the gate near the royal garden, even though they knew the enemy had the city surrounded. They headed toward the Jordan River Valley, but the Babylonian troops caught up with them near Jericho. The Babylonians arrested Zedekiah, but his soldiers scattered in every direction. Zedekiah was taken to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where Nebuchadnezzar put him on trial and found him guilty. Zedekiah's sons and the officials of Judah were killed while he watched. Then his eyes were poked out. He was put in chains, then dragged off to Babylon and kept in prison until he died. Jerusalem was captured during Nebuchadnezzar's 19th year as king of Babylonia. About a month later, Nebuchadnezzar's officer in charge of the guards arrived in Jerusalem. His name was Nebuzaradan, and he burned down the Lord's temple, the king's palace, and every important building in the city, as well as all the houses. Then he ordered the Babylonian soldiers to break down the walls around Jerusalem. He led away the people left in the city, including everyone who had become loyal to Nebuchadnezzar, the rest of the skilled workers, and even some of the poor people of Judah. Only the very poorest were left behind to work the vineyards and the fields. Nebuzaradan ordered his soldiers to go to the temple and take everything made of gold or silver, including bowls, fire pans, sprinkling bowls, pans, lampstands, dishes for incense, and the cups for wine offerings. The Babylonian soldiers took all the bronze things used for worship at the temple, including the pans for hot ashes, and the shovels, lamp snuffers, sprinkling bowls, and dishes for incense. The soldiers also took everything else made of bronze, including the two columns that stood in front of the temple, the large bowl called the Sia, the 12 bulls that held it up, and the movable stands. The soldiers broke these things into pieces so they could take them to Babylonia. There was so much bronze that it could not be weighed. For example, the columns were about 27 feet high and 18 feet around. They were hollow, but the bronze was about 3 inches thick. Each column had a bronze cap over 7 feet high that was decorated with bronze designs. Some of these designs were like chains, and others were like pomegranates. There were 96 pomegranates, evenly spaced around each column. And a total of 100 pomegranates were located above the chains. Next, Nebuzaradan arrested Seraiah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, his assistant, and three temple officials. Then he arrested one of the army commanders, seven of King Zedekiah's personal advisers, and the officer in charge of gathering the troops for battle. He also found 60 more soldiers who were still in Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan led them to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where Nebuchadnezzar had them killed. The people of Judah no longer lived in their own country. People of Judah taken prisoner. Here is a list of the number of the people of Judah that Nebuchadnezzar took to Babylonia as prisoners. In his seventh year as king, he took 3,023 people. In his 18th year as king, he took 832 from Jerusalem. In his 23rd year as king, his officer Nebuzaradan took 745 people. So Nebuchadnezzar took a total of 4,600 people from Judah to Babylonia. Jehoiakim is set free. Jehoiakim was a prisoner in Babylonia for 37 years. Then Evil-Merodach became king of Babylonia, and in the first year of his rule, on the 25th day of the 12th month, he let Jehoiakim out of prison. Evil-Merodach was kind to Jehoiakim and honored him more than any of the other kings held prisoner there. Jehoiakim was allowed to wear regular clothes instead of a prison uniform, and he even ate